AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
They wanted better food quality, but it's getting the robust manufacturing supply chain to connect the science to the consumer. That's where great capital requirements are needed, great partnerships are needed, and great defensibility of the business model is needed to make yourself a partner worth partnering with.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. The United States invests more than $170 billion a year to combat obesity. One of the key contributing factors to that is access to healthy foods. Today's guest is an entrepreneur who is uniting the power of technology and health to bring an entirely new category of innovation to Ag Bioscience. Welcome, Scott Massey, CEO of Anew. Scott, it's great to have you back on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Scott, we have to cover so much of what's happened since we've last chatted with Anew and all the things that are going on. But I want to start with this problem. We talk about accessing healthy foods. You have spent so much time in this area, winner of Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge, uniting the power of technology and access to bring together food. Give us a sense. What's the current challenge that you're seeing in the market of this access gap to healthy foods in America?
I oftentimes like to make the comparison of what the potential of indoor farming can be, where it is today and where I see it being in the future, to the ice industry. There was a period of time that we had ice factories that would produce ice, a highly perishable good, and deliver it to the end individual until it would melt and we'd buy more ice. And it was a system of dependency until we had refrigeration decentralized. Refrigerators gave us the ability to produce ice on demand when it was needed at the point of consumption, and ice losses were effectively eliminated. When we think of the healthiest foods, the ones that can mitigate many of these health concerns that we see, they are highly perishable, which is a massive logistical challenge to deliver to far-flung markets or environments where a grocery retail may not be within immediate proximity. So I believe that if we can harness the technology of indoor farming to decentralize it and produce it at that point of consumption within the very communities that need it, we can have the highly perishable, highly healthy foods where it's needed most.
I love this idea of bringing production and consumption to the same place. And in that construct, if you look at it that simply, it knows, that challenge knows no socioeconomic barrier, knows no geography barrier. It's a universal challenge.
We see this just as prevalent within rural environments as we do urban environments for different reasons. There may be a socioeconomic equation that decided where a grocery store may be placed at. There may have been environmental limitations that have limited an environment to grow food. Former industrial sites may have soil contamination, which may make it untenable to have soil gardening in the area, even if they have the climate to do so. You may be in a very rural environment where your distance to the grocery store could be upwards of an hour, meaning you're bringing a cooler full of ice to the grocery store and you are automatically incentivized to probably choose the less perishable items, which more often than not are the least healthy items that we have at the grocery store. But making that accessible is our mission.
Scott, this product that you are bringing to market, Anew, transformational. I think it's the only way you can describe it. Talk about this eureka moment that you had when you saw this market problem, fell in love with the idea of solving the problem, and now you're doing it. Share more about what you're doing, the innovation you're leading at Anew.
I kind of break the company up into three separate chapters. We had the first few years of perfecting the hardware, focusing on a system that optimized yield output, power efficiency, and the overall user experience, making it very easy to use, a lot like Keurig, of placing a consumable into the system and being able to harvest. Only after we had developed a really robust platform that was kind of a series of quiet and subtle aha moments, but amounted to a product that was just very robust, very reliable, we then had the opportunity to focus on the consumable, the design. So seed selection, fertilizer, nutrient inputs, growing media, the material science behind a cohesive consumable that develops a very reliable user experience that people genuinely want to subscribe to, they want to use. And I learned all sorts of use case experiences. Maybe a soccer mom who's really busy and wants her kids to have better quality food and wants to instill values of having a clean eating, healthy food diet in the household. She's a very busy woman. or the husband, whomever that may be, probably doesn't have the bandwidth to take on another chore. So developing a system that was so seamless to use that the experience was on par with Keurig became an immediate priority for us. One thing that we developed that was such, I would say, an intuitional, just inspirational moment for us because of the experiences we could support was developing self-nurturing consumables. Hydroponics, this concept of soilless farming, eliminates soil by definition. It means we can grow anywhere. We don't have that geographic constraint of the ground, but it also means we need to recreate the nutritional profile that's associated with soil, the agronomy, the chemistry, all the decades, centuries of industry experience that farmers have perfected. We have to consolidate that in a very brief amount of time in a very small consumable that's economical to ship. And when we developed a consumable that was self-nurturing, meaning that it contains all the necessary nutrients, is as easy to use as Keurig, putting a pot in, taking a plant out. That, I think, was a big aha moment for us because it dramatically expanded. It multiplied the addressable market size to include everybody that wants better food but may not have had the time, the bandwidth, or the space to do so.
Scott, you have to walk folks through. If you're not familiar with a new, really interesting device, give us an idea. Pretend that I haven't seen it. Talk to those folks who are watching, who are listening. Explain to them what a new is.
So we really began with a residential appliance because it's very easy to develop an appliance. It's a few thousand dollars comparative to a large scale commercial system. It's also very easy to launch an initial pilot in the market of a system that gives people the ability to grow vegetables at home. But if we were to visualize this for the listener, imagine a refrigerator, but instead of storing food, is productive. It is the womb of food. It is a high output production system that almost looks like a greenhouse. It's very warm. It's very inviting. We have the lighting, every component needed to grow all indoors. And from this system, you have a very simple seed pod consumable.
Oh, I hope you have one.
And I have one here with me that you can see.
Let's see it.
But this is a home compostable, plant-based resin consumable. One that following the usage, you could compost it at home or even replant that root mass in your outdoor garden. It's giving you your own farmer's market, tailored and curated inside the convenience of your own home.
That's awesome.
Now that's a residential model. We've also solved a lot of commercial production challenges too, and we're really excited to have announced earlier this year one of our commercial licensing partnerships with an equipment manufacturer developing shipping containers that you could almost think of as a really big appliance, but now capable of feeding not just a family, but a family of families, a school, a church, a faith-based institution, a hospital, all wanting to become self-sufficient in vegetable production.
Sky, give us a sense. I mean, this is a revolutionary approach to, again, collapsing that window between production and consumption. How are things, where is the product today? Can someone buy it? How do they begin to take this and bring it to themselves, bring it to their house, bring it to their community?
So if I were to answer that very literally where it's at, it's around the world. We have systems across the North American continent. There are some in Africa and commercial environments. Where the system at today is primarily in a field test experience where we have select individuals using the appliance, and there will be opportunities to dramatically expand that in the future with partnerships. Our commercial systems are being manufactured and rapidly deployed as we speak now. That's going to schools, institutions, places that want to become self-sufficient and have that experiential learning opportunity, a differentiated food offering, something that's sensitive to people with dietary restrictions. Perhaps it's halal, perhaps it's kosher, perhaps it's an allergy sensitivity that they need to be mindful of what other exposures could be. We can supply what's effectively a clean room grown food product to those individuals, regardless of what that use case may be.
That's an incredible story. We'll dig into what's ahead for Anew and how this entrepreneurial journey has evolved. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing. But a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Scott Massey, CEO of Anew. Scott, your journey has been extraordinary, continues to evolve. One thing that's always interesting to me is we dig into hardware meets innovation. We start talking about connectivity to food. There's always two halves of the whole. There is the science and engineering, and then there is customer adoption. As you've gone through this journey of bringing Anew from an idea to a product, what's been more challenging, advancing the science and engineering or driving customer adoption, customer interest?
I think it's that connective tissue right in between those two things. I was very fortunate to have a fantastic mentor, Dr. Kerry Mitchell, who is a renowned horticulturalist, one of the earliest champions of LEDs and indoor hydroponic farming, sponsored by NASA for decades now. And that scientific experience was so fortunate for us to have had that exposure that we had a very firm idea of how the science could be executed at scale, and I think had a very good vision of competing asymmetrically in the market. Rather than building the largest systems, we wanted to build the most distributed system to circumnavigate traditional supply chains. And as far as consumer demand, I wouldn't say that's necessarily an issue either. When we started this company, we frankly had nothing. We were delivering newspapers for the Exponent at night on West Lafayette as students at Purdue. And every article that we published of a competition that we may have won, even if it was a small student competition, 5 to 10 people would reach out and say, I want this product. And I'd hear these profound stories that maybe they had a cardiovascular disease, maybe they had diabetes or some dietary restriction. They wanted better food quality. But it's getting the robust manufacturing supply chain to connect the science to the consumer. That's where great capital requirements are needed, great partnerships are needed, and great defensibility of the business model is needed to make yourself a partner worth partnering with.
You've put a lot of wins on the board. You've won the Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge, part of Agrinovis. You just picked up a giant check out west. Give us a sense where you are in terms of the capitalization of the business and just the tailwinds that you have pushing you into this next chapter.
Yeah, we've just been incredibly fortunate. This started with a small pitch competition in Muncie, Indiana, in November of 2016 for $5,000. And as a student, I found out every university has a competition. So we kind of roadshowed all around the United States for a period of time. And eventually that graduated to federal research grants with SBIR programs. There have been over $2 million of SBIR grants awarded to our company. The state of Indiana has immense capital, whether it's the Kinexus Smart Manufacturing Readiness Grant, whether it's private family offices, or even the Purdue Research Foundation Venture Fund. We've been so fortunate to have had these mechanisms to support us. But I think above all else, the word I would use to describe these are strategic. Many of these groups come from people who've either been there, done that, or have a vested interest in continued success of who they're supporting beyond the capital needs.
Scott, there are a number of entrepreneurs, both who are in entrepreneurial ventures today and those who aspire to be in entrepreneurial ventures. There are always so many lessons learned, and you can't take one journey and place it on somebody else and say that's what it's going to be. But I think some of the lessons learned along the way are really helpful. Share with us a couple of those. What are some of the lessons you've learned, maybe the successes and maybe the areas for maybe evolution that you've had along the journey that could be helpful for others?
To me, I think if you want to go far, you need to go together. And that means building a really good team around you, which means even if you may not really identify yourself as a leader or someone who's very extroverted, and I certainly was none of those things, that if you hold yourself to a really high standard and you become the best possible version of yourself, people will typically follow. And that's not just about being strong when times are tough. It's also having the courage to be vulnerable when necessary, to have an open dialogue environment that if something's not working, if something could be better, that ego takes a backseat and people can focus on the joint mission, the objective of what you're doing.
There have been a lot of people, this go-together construct, there have been a lot of people that have come alongside the new, often heralded as a great success of entrepreneurial ventures, particularly here in ag tech. What's the best piece of advice? You've had a lot of people pour into you. What's the best piece of advice that you've been given, and how have you applied that to the business?
I'd say just don't wait. I'd say if you have a good idea and you're looking for some sort of external validation, you're looking for somebody to already do it, it may already be too late. I would say if you have an idea, if you have a vision, with all the resources that are in Indiana, the Hunger Tech Challenge, the university research funds, Elevate Ventures, federal research grants, it's never been easier to start a business at any point in American history, and the barriers continue to be eroded. So by all means, if you are a person that has an idea, realistically assess, what do you have to lose here? You have so much more to gain by taking these necessary risks. And in the worst case scenario, it's going to be a very good learning experience along the way. But I think that's the best advice I can give, because typically the people who develop highly defensible business models were too early for a period of time. And they were probably the ones that moved the market and made the time happen for themselves. And that's when the partners come and they recognize an innovative solution when they see it. And they understand that you have solved a problem that they are just now identifying before it was even fully known to them in their business model. And suddenly you have the perfect recipe for a partnership. You can have that perfect intersection of capabilities. And for us, that was working with Eco Solutions, integrating our technology into their commercial shipping containers. They've been a fantastic company to work with, an Indiana-based company, subsidiary of Land Betterment. And they've just been a fantastic team of partners to work with. Very humble when times are good, but very resilient when times are tough.
Ah, it's so good. Scott, you have a lot of runway ahead, accomplished a lot, but still a lot of runway ahead. What's the next 36, 48 months look like for Anew?
I see a lot of diversification opportunities in the customer vertical segments, particularly on the commercial side that we are supporting. I see food as medicine. I see the produce prescription movement gaining incredible traction. I see health insurance and health facilities becoming major participants in the food distribution model, because food health outcomes are inherently connected. This is ancient wisdom, but we're seeing new AI models that can process data and find fascinating correlations between what we are eating and the direct health outcome. I see schools becoming absolutely integral in this to improve the health and well-being of the students, to increase their professional readiness. That is transparently very valuable for me as an employer in a rapidly growing team, that if we can participate in the educational technology experience of the students and they're ready to work for us coming out of high school, even out of college, that is a massive win victory for us. Even think of tactical deployments, military installations, people who are in far-flung remote geographies that go through unimaginable logistic challenges to get food there at great sacrifices for our nation and its allies, they should be eating the highest quality food. I think nutritional resilience is as important as any other tactical resilience that we can imagine. And frankly, that's probably just scratching the surface. We continue to hear about these new use cases each and every day.
Yes, Scott Massey, CEO of Anew. Scott, it's been a delight to have you on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.
And thanks so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, you can always get the latest news online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for watching and listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.